Hi, this is Chris Evans recording another Storage Unpacked podcast. I'm here this week with Martin. Hi, Martin.
Hey, Chris, how are you doing?
I'm all right, thanks. How are you?
Just recovering from one of these awful winter colds, but not too bad. And it's the run-up to Christmas as we record this.
Absolutely it is, yes. Not far to go now, only a week or so. In fact, a week tomorrow.
Yeah.
Not far at all. This week, we're joined by a guest. We've got Jonathan Hinkle with us. Hi, Jonathan.
Hi there, Chris.
Would you like to introduce yourself and tell everybody what you do and where you're from? And then that will help us lead into the conversation for this week.
Okay, sure. So my name is Jonathan Hinkle. I'm a principal researcher at Lenovo and Lenovo Research. I'm focused on developing new technologies, driving new disruptive innovation related especially to server and storage system architecture, memory and storage. I've been about 5 years at Lenovo Research, at Lenovo, and then previously 5 years as a chief architect at Viking Technology. And before that, I was 10 years in IBM system development.
Great. So you've just given us a little bit of a background there and talked about architecture and research and so on. The topic for our conversation this week is to look at new form factors that we've seen develop as part of the emergence of solid state storage as being a real driver in the enterprise. And we've got you here to talk about not just one particular format, but generally the evolution of formats in general. But I believe you were actually involved in one of the standards we're going to talk about.
Sure, absolutely. Well, a lot of my work, it's related to industry standards, certainly industry standards to give a broad use space and adoption for new technologies is really important. And so we do a lot of the work that we do, actually, we contribute back to open standards we develop with others collaboratively in the industry. So I'm heavily involved with several different organizations. I'm heavily involved with JEDEC, which is main memory and NVM standardization group in the industry. And then also I recently formed a group called EDSFF, the Enterprise and Data Center Small Form Factor Group. And so in founding that, we developed some new standards for storage devices.
Okay, we'll come on to that. So hold that thought for a moment. And if anybody's managed to work out between now and when we talk about it, what the proprietary name is, it'll be interesting to see if anybody works it out. But let's just start there and look at the fact that when we look across the market, traditionally we were very much tied to a form factor for external storage or persistent storage. We were tied to things that were based on a hard drive. But as we've moved to the solid state market, we're just not tied to that format anymore. And we've seen the proliferation of a whole range of devices, haven't we?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. So when we had first adoption of SSD or first SSD came on the scene, it made sense to basically replace the same slot that we had for our hard disk drive, the storage device of the time, with an SSD, which is NAND flash or some type of non-volatile memory, but put it in the same form factor, same interface, same interconnect. And that way, adoption would just be quite easy. It's just the same thing, but faster. So now that SSD and flash, non-volatile memory in general, has been adopted so much more widely in the data center, really we've grown past just keeping the same legacy form factors. And so right now, what we've seen is all the different slots actually in a server and originally even in the client space as well, consumer space, all those used for SSDs. In the SSD space for client especially, we've seen a lot of proliferation for consumer different types of form factors, mSATA and M.2, you know, MO300, MO297, there's all these different form factors. Eventually, M.2 really became sort of that primary form factor for the client space and consumer space, especially laptops. But still, there's quite a few different options. And then for the data center side, U.2 is the latest in the line of SSDs or SATA and SAS SSDs. There were 2.5-inch drives especially. And now, you know, for the data center space, U.2 is an NVMe drive, which is PCIe attached SSD and can plug in that same slot along with other hard disk drives. So we've continued on that, especially also adapter cards, like PCIe adapter cards, where those are designed as peripheral cards, such as like an Ethernet card and that sort of thing. Now we've had SSDs introducing those for PCIe. And so between adapter cards and the hard disk drive form factors, those are the only ones we've had that are focused on the data center. And it was really about plugging in existing slots. We even had like DIMM slots we plug in flash. We've done some work around those, but we haven't had anything that's really optimized around having flash in the server in the data center.
Right. Let's just make sure we make it clear for everybody, because we just talked about so many different formats there. When we first saw Flash come into the data center, we probably, let's say Fusion.io, maybe one of the first ones to bring it in, we saw what were called AICs or adapter cards, a card that sits inside the server, and that's just sat into a PCIe slot. I think that's pretty easy to understand. And then we saw, as you described it, the U.2 format, which looks like a 2.5-inch drive, but actually is an NVMe-connected drive. And then we've also seen from the consumer space the M.2 format, which looks like, I guess, like a memory stick. I've seen sometimes it's described as a gum stick, and that plugs directly into the motherboard as well. So those have sort of, I think, the proliferation of devices you just described in there.
That's right. And so the ones that were, I mean, adapter cards and the 2.5-inch drive, those are really enterprise-focused form factors that have been designed for enterprise use. The M.2, it's designed for client and consumer use, which is really well-suited to be laying flat and thin in a laptop. It's not really designed for servers, but we've started using them there because we saw this. There's a sort of a need for something smaller, more modular, and the existing is actually another indication that the adapter cards or the 2.5-inch drives were not meeting all the needs, what you could do with Flash.
Martin, if just bringing you into this discussion, clearly the hard drive form factor was fairly limiting.
Oh yeah, very, very much so. I mean, as from a consumer point of view, and obviously in the enterprise point of view, if you've ever taken a SSD to pieces, a 2.5-inch, you'll notice that there's probably quite a lot of space in there. So you're limiting yourself even from an environmental or a size point of view. So yeah, I mean, it makes no sense apart from the fact there's a backwards compatibility.
Yeah. So Jonathan, that's a great point to start in. And that's, we clearly used those devices because they fitted with what we had before, but just because they were the same form factor as a hard drive didn't necessarily mean they were good from a space utilization and a power and a cooling perspective.
Right. That, I mean, especially in that cooling aspect too, you know, it's a sort of a box like the 2.5-inch drive. When you had rotating platters for a hard disk drive, I mean, that was, you had to have that box around it to protect from vibration and environmental dust, things like that. But it's also a big box that ends up blocking the airflow to the hottest components, especially like the processors and other things like that in the server. And then, like you said, the space, it takes up a significant amount of space and doesn't really scale the way you might want it to.
Okay, so we started from a position where we didn't really want to be. We started with a position of emulating devices that had already existed. If we were starting from scratch, what else would we consider? We mentioned that perhaps we would want better airflow. We probably want more appropriate space utilization. What else could we consider? Would it, you know, do we need to consider things like power load? Do we need to consider maintenance? There seems to be quite a lot you'd want to consider if you were starting from scratch.
Yeah, that's right. You know, one way to look at it is just trying to look at what we have today and trying to take the best of what we have, and then look at what other problems we're really still hitting as challenges. So, for example, the modularity of M.2, where it's small and easy to plug in, as far as just a small card that you can put more than one in a small space, then that was very useful. But you know, as far as the enterprise feature set where you want to be able to plug in something while the power is on, hot plug, then hard disk drive, that was really a benefit of that 2.5-inch form factor. Also for an adapter card, you know, one of the nice things, obviously it was PCIe attached and it gave us this basically a way to scale out capacity, but it was stealing away slots from our IO cards like a NIC or something like that. So there's a lot of trade-offs where right now if we're designing something from new, then we want to really consider sort of the best of thermal. You know, how can we get something that's better for airflow, for thermal, also for power? You know, one of the things about power also is if you look at like a 2.5-inch drive or, you know, basically a HDD, requires certain different power rails, which SSDs may, you know, there's some of them that SSDs don't need or don't want. And so to simplify that and make it easier to design a system with scaling SSD resource, non-volatile memory, flash right now, resources, then there's a lot of considerations like that. Power, how do you deliver power? What kind of connector, and is it a cost-effective connector? And then the interface and making sure that that's something that you can scale with lots of slots. So you have, the customer can plug in as much as they want or as little as they want, instead of having to buy a very large single card or single device to get the storage you want.
Okay, so you've raised an interesting point before we go into a bit more detail. And that's actually, rather than thinking about it in terms of where we might have been before and saying, let's just try and come up with something that's a better hard drive, actually part of this whole idea of being able to redesign is about being able to produce form factors in the server itself that might be more appropriate to a customer. So, for example, Martin, I don't know how much of your environment as SDS, but I can imagine saying that sometimes you want to have a dense server in terms of physical storage. Sometimes you don't need a dense server, but you just need the accessibility at the front of the server. There could be a whole set of reasons why you might want things in the data center like that.
Yeah, so I'm thinking about this. So at the moment, we buy some large HP Apollo devices, which have a large number of drives in, 60 drives, but 60 slots. If we were to start changing the form factors and we wanted to ram them full of flash, for instance, we could probably do that in a much smaller space, probably more maintainable and easier to look after.
And I think that Jonathan, seems to me as much as a factor as it is about trying to think about the storage and everything else is, what does the customer want to do that with it? And how can we come up with form factors from the server that might be more useful as well?
Exactly.
Okay, so imagine we're starting from scratch then. We've got a blank piece of paper. We want to start from somewhere and we want to come up with a new format. And you mentioned that that's something that you've done and it's something that people might be aware of today in the industry.
Oh, that's right. So, you know, basically, I guess it's 2015. There's a few different origins for some of this work. I think the industry it was the right time to really start considering we need something that's really optimized around data center systems. And so for me and Lenovo, in 2015, we started a research project basically to investigate that and look at what we could develop and create to really be an industry standard over time to fill that need and really to allow for our customers to put in more flash, put in more performance, more flash units so they can get to higher performance in a single system, so they can do more with a single system, and they get more bang for their buck. And also save power because, basically you can scale flash and the performance of the I.O. Independently from the other factors more easily within a single system. And so that was really one of the first starts was in 2015. The research project was called Slim Drive. And that became...
Sorry, it was called what?
Slim Drive. That was just our
Slim Drive.
Yeah, it was a code name for it.
Slim Drive.
And so after about a year of that development with some different partners, we showed a POC and it's proven out with really good density. We showed we could get 3 to 4 times the amount of density of drives. So where you put 2 2.5-inch drives, you could get 6 to 8 drives in that same space, NVMe drives. And then your capacity could be at least 2 to 3 or maybe even 4x if you got the same capacity. But the performance, especially, you scaled with a new by 4 pipe of PCIe to each drive. So you could get literally 3 to 4 times the performance.
So this was a development project, a proof of concept, and that was where you started on that from. And is that what became EDSS? I'm going to say that again. Is that what became EDSFF as a format?
Yeah, well, that's one part of what went into forming EDSFF. So after successfully showing that proof of concept, the original vision for that research was I wanted to make sure it went into an industry standard so that we could all benefit from that and we could start using it in systems with a broad supplier base. And somewhere in between that first, I think it was like 2016 and 2017, discovered there's other efforts that had been started since I had started. And one of them was Intel had started developing sort of their blue sky and greenfield kind of approach for SSD called Ruler. And so instead of trying to put something out into the standards, one that's incompatible with another, then we started talking about forming, basically aligning these so that they would be all compatible as one interface, one connector. Also, another effort, Samsung had started looking at an M.2 and maybe improving that in different ways. And I shared with them some of my concepts. And then we ended up joining also with Samsung to form this EDSFF. So it's Intel, Samsung, Lenovo, Microsoft, Facebook, and also we pulled in Dell and HPE. And so together we all formed the Enterprise and Data Center Small Form Factor Group.
So that's quite a good spread of the industry in that sense. You're talking about probably everybody apart from what the one Martin just mentioned there, HPE, I think.
Yeah, I mean, HPE was part of the group. I mean, that was just the promoters that we first formed the group. And over time, also, we had a lot of other contributors join us, Micron, Toshiba, Western Digital, Seagate. So it's definitely a big tent kind of approach. And the main point, though, was just a first focus and a line on some common characteristics around a common connector. So we didn't have a lot of proliferation proliferation of different incompatible connectors and different designs that were incompatible. And so over the process of a year and a half, we basically did that in that group and then contributed basically a draft version of this into SNIA SFF, the SFF group, which is the same one where U.2 is standardized. And those have all become standardized now as industry standards in SFF.
Okay, so EDSFF. I struggle to say that every single time for some reason. It must be my wonderful British accent, but
not at all.
people would know that as in terms of colloquially, they'll have heard of the ruler format, which is Intel's. Is that Intel's proprietary version of that? How should we sort of think of it?
Sure. So, well, we all had various different proprietary versions, you know, whether it be Ruler or Slim Drive or M.3 and so on. So when we formed this group, we brought all that into the group and then tried to share with the best of what we can between those and then looked at what else should we do, obviously, with all the different people involved, different companies involved. And so the EDSFF, you know, the Ruler, there's different versions of form factor. So it turned out that there's maybe it became a family of different SSDs. Maybe there's three or four different kinds that would be probably most popular over time. But the main types we published as standards were the E1.S, which formerly was the Slim Drive, the E1.L, which is the Ruler, the longer Ruler, which is around 12 inches or a little bit more. And then also an E3, which was sort of a larger 3-inch, sort of a more like a 2.5-inch drive, but larger for higher power kind of applications.
So how did those three come about? Was that simply because these were ideas that the different contributors had been thinking about?
Yeah, a lot of discussion on basically negotiating what are the main features and functions and how they're defined between OEMs and hyperscale and suppliers. And so the first designs and the first ideas for concepts that we contributed were to get started, and then how they were finally defined were, you know, quite different. Especially the connector is one place where we had to really refine, make sure that we had all the features, but then also not carry some of the baggage of legacy pin formats and different other former interfaces like U.2. You know, there's certain pins that, you know, you have in U.2 or M.2 and so on. So it was a negotiation of figuring out what features and functions should be in that pinout, and making sure we have a common connector that, you know, everyone can make basically compatible, the drives compatible to.
So does that mean that from that perspective, that the pinout, or at least the connector type, is fairly proprietary to that format, to EDSFF?
Yeah.
So it's not backward compatible with anything else. It's literally, it's a brand new one.
So it's a brand new connector that's already being adopted now for EDSFF NVMe drives, as well as it's already been adopted for Gen Z is also going to use it as an industry consortium. Also, it can be used for like CCIX, which is another low latency interface coming up. It's also used in OCP, like there's a MES card, what they call OCP MES, to plug in I/O slots, and that's using that same connector as well. So the connector is already proliferating as a common connector that can be used many different ways in different places, but it is a new connector completely from anything that's existed before. Main reason is, you know, just for the future, just designed for the future. It can supply a significant amount of power, over 70 watts, and it also is really well suited for high-speed I/O. So the rates of signal integrity and so on, the rates you can support are at least 112 gigabits per second. So we'll have a long legs as we go forward into new interfaces and faster interfaces.
Everybody always thinks that, don't they? When you think we're going to design for the future and it'll be great for the next 10 or 15 years, I mean, how far do you really see that being going out in terms of the design? Is that something that's a 5-year roadmap, or is it a 3-year or 10-year?
Yeah, that's a good question. So just from a frequency standpoint, we have been, it does seem like everyone's trying to compress a little bit faster the transitions between, you know, one speed to the next. So PCIe Gen 3 is what we have today. It's 8 gigabit per second. Gen 4 is pretty much now 16 gigabit per second. And that's where some of the technologies sort of flatten out. So, for example, M.2, that connector can't really go much further past 16 gigabits. It may be able to get 25, but right now it's not certain. But 25 gig is already being done with CCIX interface. 32 gig is probably planned for PCIe, coming up PCIe, maybe Gen 5. So as we get to Gen 5, 32 gigabit, 56 gigabit is next probably after that. That's probably about 4 or 5 years out at least. And then, so this probably gives us at least one more bump beyond that. I would say it's likely to be 7 years or 8 years. You know, technology moves faster and faster, sort of exponentially, not linearly sometimes. But I'd expect it probably be 10 years. Is at least it will be around for 10 years or more.
So Martin, that means but you and I probably will be retired by then.
Well, I hope so. That would be nice. But depending on Chris, we'll still be messing around with storage and buying things, and we'll still be fiddling. We'll still be interested.
I think we will, but it's I think I like the idea that there might be something that I don't have to have a proliferation of different connectors sitting around, lying around, and that at least there's an attempt to try and standardize on a more practical connector and form factor.
Yeah, one does wonder when we're going to see the death of a 2.5-inch drive or the 2.5-inch SSD, actually. We might still keep drives spinning disks around for large storage devices. But I look at my motherboard today, my home PCs and things, and there's a lot of space wasted or in the case by the 2.5-inch drives. And I think I could have a much smaller device if I didn't have to have so many drive slots.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's, Jonathan, let's talk about that long format factor that everybody probably is aware of. You mentioned that it's about 12 inches long. And we're talking about a device that really just looks like a thick ruler, hence the name the ruler, I guess. And very specifically, I think the height is quite deliberately chosen in terms of how high that sits within a physical server.
Yeah, that's right. So really, there's two SSDs, the E1.S, the EDSFF 1U short, and the E1.L, the EDSFF 1U long, that are both designed to fit vertically in a 1U rack mount space. Like, so basically, so a server or a system, storage system, almost all of them are designed around the 1U rack unit. Either it's a 1U or it's a multiple of 1U. And so that's one of the interesting new things about the EDSF, the E1 drives, is that they all are designed to fit in that 1U height. Similarly, the E3 is designed to take up basically most of the space in a 2U. So it can fit vertically in the 2U space, and you know, has a lot of different flexibilities there to scale out. So the E1, the ruler drive, the E1.L now is the standard version, fits vertically in the 1U, in a 1U server, a 1U storage box. And basically you can put a large number of those with the airflow goes between the drives down the length of them, and they don't block the airflow because the airflow can just go between each drive. And also I mentioned the connector, there's a new connector, right angle orthogonal connector, which was, you know, I created some of this back in the first Slim Drive project, as well as the ruler, I think, independently came up with some of this to put into the back of the system, which doesn't block the airflow. So it doesn't have to have a traditional backplane. So all this is designed to have the best airflow and fit in the 1U height, which is unique versus like the 2.5-inch drive, for example.
Okay, let's just give everybody a bit of a concept of what the numbers mean. So with a ruler format, we're talking about in, say, a 1U server, across the width of the physical server sitting in a rack, potentially getting 32 of these devices in a rack, the standard width of a rack, compared to, say, for example, I think the best 2.5-inch drives, you can get about 24, I think.
Yeah. And that's in a 24 in a 2U. And so you can get 32 of the E1.L or the E1.S in a 1U.
Yeah. So wonderful high density solution, much better airflow, better power by the sounds of it. You said 70 watts compared to, now off the top of my head, I'm thinking PCIe was only about 25, but I could be wrong. But you said 70 watts.
right. So it depends on the environment and what you're trying to do with it. For the long version, the intent is really maximizing capacity in a single drive and then scaling that. So one of the great affinities for that is, especially in storage boxes that are remote, maybe disaggregated storage, probably leveraging an upcoming NVMe over fabric, and also well-suited for hyperscale, then you can fit a large amount of capacity in a single drive. But those are going to be higher power devices, especially if you have some significant utilization of them. And so we also just wanted to future-proof the connector, allow for higher power devices to be able to plug in. That's definitely not the typical power. Typical power is more probably like 25 to 40 watts. And your typical PCIe slot today, 25 watts was that nice limit, and then quickly there were 40 watts and even 70 watts or plus. Some of the GPU cards go well into hundreds of watts per card. So those can't be you can't fit those in a standard slot, obviously, or even a special. You have to have a special slot for the hundreds of watts. But 25 to 40, 75 watts even is pretty common for the back of the box, even PCIe. You have to support something like that.
I think some of those were spanning two slots, though, weren't they? Some of those, you'd actually put the card in one slot, and then you'd put a power extender or something else into the nearby slot so that you didn't overload the power restrictions on a single slot. So there was a bit of workaround in that, I think.
Right, right. You either plugged in power directly from a power supply, and sometimes if it wasn't designed, the system wasn't designed for it, you had to try to take up space so you didn't allow for somebody to overload their system, right?
Yeah, so totally impractical in the sense that it was pretty clear for lots of reasons we needed to rethink it. Now, let's move on and think about probably the most important piece here, and that's the end user, the customer, exactly what they think they're going to do with this. And you highlighted some really interesting use cases that could be very relevant for scalable environments, cloud, hyper-converged, and of course, with the movement towards NVMe. And that's really what we're delivering here is potentially the ability to deliver highly dense rack scale storage that optimizes the space that we're deploying into.
Right, right. And that's, in the use case, that's part of the reason we had more than just one form factor was really to accommodate some of the different use cases. You know, for mass storage, especially disaggregated storage, and as that grows, that's where you'll see the longer form factor, the longer E1.L, and also maybe the E3 in some cases, but especially for disaggregated 1U storage and hyperscale, possibly a JBOF, which is just a bunch of flash, NVMe or fabric attached, then you could have maybe more than just even a rack storage in one box. You could have maybe a couple racks or a small portion of the data center storage. But then also there's the the server use cases, so like hyperconverged. Say it's Nutanix or many different software-defined storage options, then there's a lot of benefit to having scaling form factor like the E1.S is a short. One of the benefits of that, by the way, is that it does fit in the depth of the 2.5-inch drive, and so you can actually plug in 32 of those in existing systems even and allow for 32 of those drives or 16 to 32 in a 1U, for example, that allows you to get a lot of performance out of that without having to, go to some external box, this is a SAN or something like that. So you really have right. Both options sort of in the server or in a separate storage, disaggregated storage box, and they're optimized for both ways.
Okay. Martin, I think from my perspective, I think the disaggregated one initially sounds probably the more interesting. And if you look back at some of the podcasts we've had over the last sort of 2 years, we've spoken to EA, who have a very specific disaggregated architecture. We've spoken to people like Accelero, who have a distributed architecture. Even just the other week, we spoke to them. And it seems to me like companies like that can really benefit from this type of technology.
Yeah, it's this disaggregated storage tier, which is beginning to become the more interesting. Just from a technology point of view and development point of view, the more traditional monolithic arrays, and I don't mean that in a particularly disparaging way, but they're just not so interesting. Whereas what's going on with disaggregated tiers, certainly from a software point of view, and now if we start throwing in the new form factors for flash, really does become interesting. It's certainly a way if you're putting it into a hyperscale data center or you want to shrink your data center and improve density. So I think these two movements come together.
I would ask you one question, Jonathan. I don't know how far, this is a completely made up of the top of my head comment and just something that just strikes me as being something that might or might not be possible, but I can imagine a scenario with the ability to do something like Ruler where we could incorporate some compute onto that device as well, and we could end up with a low powered chip on there allowing us to maybe even do offload onto that device at the same time. So it strikes me that this could end up being a bit of a hybrid between storage and a blade type architecture if we were not careful.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. You're right. It actually, I think they all lend themselves to that. And that's already something we've actually presented on before, is for the E1.S and the E1.L, I think also the E3, leveraging it for more than just for flash. And that could be, for example, 3D crosspoint or persistent memory. It also could be for IO or acceleration or processing, maybe FPGA. So I think that's actually a thing that we're already working on, already thinking about. I think the benefit of having that ruler card, you know, as a separate disaggregated piece, is you can scale. You have a large space to scale a number of those together. When you're really looking for performance versus the, like, if you have a main processor in your server and you're doing compute, but then you need to look at performance significantly and how that relates to the storage or the persistent memory or other acceleration in the same box, then still inside the box is really the better approach for a single workload. And then if you're, you know, depending on how you're scaling out, then the disaggregated cases where you can tolerate a little more latency are really beneficial for just mass resources. So we see both cases. And I think especially, for example, if you look at persistent memory, having something that's local and you can plug into the box that's very closely coupled with the processor, then allows you for have the best performance. And then when you have something that you can offload more to external, like a FPGA, then disaggregated is the easiest way to scale the resources.
Okay. So do we think that AIC and HDD formats are pretty much dead then? Do you think they'll die out within the next couple of years?
Not in the next couple of years. So, I mean, adding card for SSD, I think that's getting closer towards the end of life. I think adding card for SSD, there's so many more options for SSD. There's no reason now. Adding card itself, I mean, that's the way it was designed originally. It was as a peripheral card for a variety of different functions, including, for example, network, or it could be a fiber channel card. It could be InfiniBand. It could be an accelerator still, right? So I think those use cases will be around for a while. But HDD, you know, the 2.5-inch drive is pretty much, you know, it's stopped. As far as improvement, there's not a lot of investment at all in improving capacity for 2.5-inch disk drives. It's really 3.5-inch drives. That's where almost all the investment is going now. And so because of that, 2.5-inch drives will become less and less interesting from a capacity standpoint. And so there's less and less reason that you want that compatibility with a 2.5-inch drive.
Okay, so that was wonderful. If people want to go off and find a bit more out about the standards and the technology, where can they find out about the EDSFF working group? And what about Lenovo and what they're working on? Give us some links and URLs and things that people can go and look up.
Sure. So the main website we have a website for the EDSFF. And, you know, once you go to the website, you don't have to say it anymore. You can just sort of look. carefully, the URL is EDSFFSPEC. So EDSFFSPEC.org. And if you go to the website, then there's a lot of information. You know, you pretty much get all the information you need about what we did with EDSFF, just the explanation, the background on it especially. And then we do have a pointer on the site. There's some, I think it's called resources or something like that. There's a page where you can go to the SFF website, which is the SNIA's SFF standards website, and you can download all the industry standard form factors and signal and definitions. So all those standards are available there.
Great. Okay. Well, thank you very much for joining us. I hope that was really enlightening for people. I think I'm really interested to see where it's going to go, because I just think that hardware has become a bit interesting again, Martin, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's interesting that it's become interesting with the form factors. I just want to take you back to something, actually, just where you mentioned about whether we can see these formats being used for other things as well as storage. Well, InnoDisk last week announced an M2 graphics card, so I would expect to see people start using these other interfaces as well.
Right, so it's happening already.
Yeah, it's already happening.
It's there, yeah. Wonderful. Okay. Well, thanks, Jonathan. I appreciate you joining us. And thanks, everybody, for listening. As usual, I'll put all the links and everything we've talked about on our show notes. And you can find that at storageunpacked.com on the web. You can follow us at Storage Unpacked on Twitter. And you can follow us in our LinkedIn group. Okay. Thanks, guys. And catch up soon.
All right. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Martin.